The regular recommended daily dose of funny is just not enough. Thankfully, we have Extra Funny with TJ and Riggins.
Yes, thankfully.
Again, back at it.
Thankfully, we have that.
It's the only show where the same two hosts host 25 podcasts. like you again. Hello.
Hey, you want to, you think it would be fun just to play what I would say blind audio, because I don't remember why they're labeled the way they are, these little snippets. Like, I don't remember what they say from this morning.
It could be anything.
Well, they're not offensive or anything. They're ones that we had pulled to play on the show, but how they're labeled, I just, like a minute ago, we played one about a guy going into Starbucks. Yeah. It was labeled Starbucks. I knew what that one was.
Sure.
I don't know what pull the plug was or mess up ordering. I don't know what those are, but that's the titles of them. And I'm thinking that if we just play them.
Just react to them. It's like scrolling on your phone.
Right.
You never know what you're going to get.
Okay. So this one is called Pulling the Plug. I bet it's about death.
If 2 days pass during which I have not asked for a Manhattan, a glass of Chardonnay, or chocolate, go ahead and pull the plug.
It's like a magnet that you see at a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
It's got jokes.
And don't you think that the old people jokes about having sex and drinking and all of that are done? I mean, that's anytime somebody wants to be a funny old person, you know, like when somebody turns 100 and they put them on the local news and they say, what's your secret to longevity? And they'll say, you know, a tumbler full of Jack Daniels every day and appreciating good looking men.
That's right. That was scandalous.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Right, what?
I said a Dr. Pepper a day.
Yeah.
I like it. Staying alive, staying young.
But, I mean, if you're the grandchildren or somebody, say, all right, well, they're going to come interview you on the news. You don't, let's say something that every other 100-year-old person hasn't said.
Yeah.
Let's get you some fresh material. Because, I mean, if this takes off, goes viral, I can make a fortune off of you, mama.
Yeah. I see dollar signs.
Yeah. Don't say the usual. Drinking whiskey a day, every day.
What was the one the lady said her doctors told her not to do this, but then she outlived like four doctors?
Really?
Yeah. I saw one of those the other day.
Yeah, it wasn't anything nasty.
like using household objects as masturbatory aids.
Yeah.
Could have been real bad. My doctor told me not to use Raid for this. But they're all dead.
Yeah. That probably happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People outliving their GPs.
It's probably vindicated. You feel vindicated when you're like, they told me not to do it, but they died first.
Yeah, what did they know?
Yeah. Of course, they died in car wrecks.
Yeah.
And then this one is called Messing Up Ordering. So messing up ordering.
I don't care who you are. If you mess up while you're ordering food in front of me, that's what that food's name is from now on. Like a few years ago, my mama, we went to Wendy's and she was trying to order a junior bacon cheeseburger. And like three different times, she said Juker baby biscuit. So now they're Juker baby biscuits forever.
Juker baby biscuits.
That sounds a lot like Rob and his girlfriend. At the time, they would mess up words and stuff like that, and it would just stick.
But I mean, we do that too. It's just not as much with food. Like somebody, you know, we jokingly say, "What is that one?" Supposedly instead of supposedly, you know, and then what? There's another one. That we use it so much the wrong way, we have to stop when we're thinking about using it the right way.
I don't remember.
What the heck was it? But I would never mess up supposedly and supposedly, just for the record.
Not even for fun.
Never. I can't say it, because people really do mess that up, not on purpose.
Yeah. This one is like that, too. I can't remember what it is. But I did that in my family sometimes. You know, my my Nana was dingy and talked nonstop, so she was always saying goofy things. And the first time we took her to the Cracker Barrel, she's eating, and she's like, it's so great. Oh, this is so good. Now, hon, what did you say the name of this place is again? The Trash Barrel.
The Trash Barrel.
So we call it the Trash Barrel now.
I dig that.
And we also call my wife Judy instead of Jody.
Yeah.
Sometimes, because my grandmother thought her name was Judy when she first started coming around.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. And my brother calls Jody LJ about half the time, because my my Nana always, never a time did she say my wife's name without putting the word little in front of it. Little Jody.
Little Jody.
In-house Little Jody and the kids. Every time. Little Jody. Really? Little Jody.
As a term of endearment?
Yeah.
And she'd say that to her?
Right. And then my Nana was, back in her day, way beyond better looking than anybody had ever seen in Jonesboro, Louisiana. I mean, really? It was like legendary. People her age would talk about how beautiful she was. And then, as she aged, she was still pretty, but she got fat, uh-huh, like big. And so she longed for the days of being tiny again. She would always say, I want to be tiny. And so she thought that that was such a compliment to somebody. And Jody was so tiny and so little, and she called her Little Jody. So much so that she got a new preacher at their church, and she's telling Little Jody about it. And she goes, and they're young like y'all are, and I just think you and Brother Rob's wife would get along so well. I mean, she's tiny like you. Like, those are they have that in common, that they're tiny, so they would obviously get along, because, you know.
Why wouldn't you?
Big women have their group over here, and then tiny women are over here.
Yeah, that probably makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stick together.
Little Jody.
The tribe. Mm-hmm. You got to find your tribe and stick with them.
And I wasn't just saying that name as a, you know, and looked at Rob for a generic name. His actual name was Brother Rob, which we could start calling him now.
Yeah, sure. Friar.
Yeah, she was in one of those churches where they called the preacher's brother and they called his wife sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What brother Rob and Sister Sandy.
Is that a specific denomination that does that?
Well, she was Church of God, so I don't know if that's what they do in Church of God, or she just did, like, it was that, you know, what the rural people in that area did. I don't know.
Okay.
We can ask Cubby. Our friend Cubby's Church of God.
Is he?
Yeah.
I've been following him on social media. Man, he lives quite the adventurous life.
He was in Australia. And where else did he go? Some celebrity party somewhere.
He was at the Wicked premiere.
Where was that?
I don't know. I didn't see I didn't look in the caption, but he was with all the celebrities. I mean, he knew them all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like the premiere of this Wicked movie that's out this Friday.
Are you surprised that they still like him so much since he lost all that weight?
I bet a lot of people worry about that. Like, are they going to like me when I've changed this dramatically? Probably. Because I think Cubby's personality is so, it brings you in. He kind of wraps you up in his personality, and you're just kind of charmed by him.
But so. I gave him the nickname Cubby, which, I mean, has become famous because he was like a little teddy bear.
Little teddy bear.
Like a little cub teddy bear, because he was chunk-a-bunk. But that's what I was wondering. Does his personality carry over with somebody who's skinny better than, or as well as somebody that's, you know, like a little chunky and you want to just squeeze them like a teddy bear?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, you know, Jackie Gleason, the legendary comic Jackie Gleason, he always said, because he battled his weight all the time, and he always said he felt like he wasn't as funny when he had lost weight.
Yeah.
Because there's a famous one, considered one of the best comedies of all time and ahead of its time, was a show called The Honeymooners. And he was a big fat bus driver, a city bus driver. And they were poor, and he and his wife argued all the time. And it really was funny. But then he lost weight after that, and he went through some years where he wasn't fat. And he said people didn't think he was as funny. And then he got fat again for Smokey and the Bandit. He played the sheriff in that, if anybody's ever seen that movie. And he was the standout in the movie. He was the funniest part of it. but he was fat again.
Gives you a complex, like, mm-hmm. why don't they like me when I'm skinny?
Yeah. And you know who Wayne Knight is? He played Newman on Seinfeld.
Oh, I knew him.
Very, very big. Also played one of the Toy Stories. He was the evil toy store owner that was trying to sell Buffalo Bob or whatever his name, Buffalo Bill, that was the Kelsey Grammer character.
Oh, the prospector.
Yeah, the prospector. He did the voice for that. But he lost 100-something pounds, and he said it took a while to get people in Hollywood to accept him, like for parts and things.
Sure.
Because he had lost so much weight, he looked like a different person, and he didn't have the same appeal for specific parts.
Yeah. Yeah, if you have a look and it's dramatic, I mean, you don't look like Brad Pitt, you look like Newman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably part of your thing, and I bet you're very nervous. I bet your agent is very nervous, like, oh, you've kind of carved out a niche for yourself. I bet there is a lot of pressure, but listen, if I was skinny and I'm like, I don't know if people are going to like me, I wouldn't give a crap. No. I'm skinny. I'd be a skinny bitch.
I'd say, sign me up for some kind of diet endorsement TV. That's what I'll do.
The world can hate me. I don't care.
More Extra Funny next. Welcome to Extra Funny with TJ and Riggins.
Hey, another thing about actors feeling like that they're not accepted for roles and stuff anymore when they lose a lot of weight, like Jackie Gleason saying that people didn't think he was as funny when he was skinny, and Wayne Knight from Seinfeld said it took a while for people to accept him. And there was a guy we used to work with. He worked at the radio station across the hall from us at the time, which was an older format. They played older music, and he was probably in his 60s. I mean, just a stereotypical, lived a hard life radio dude. And the older he got, the better his voice sounded. Mm. And he worked for a station called K104.7. And he did acting on the side. And he had some, he has been passed, but he had some of the most effed up looking teeth.
Oh no.
That you've ever seen. And it, you know, came from his younger years of partying and drinking and not taking care of his teeth. But when he got into a position where he could do something about it and have his teeth fixed, he wouldn't do it, because every part that he got in every show or movie was kind of like a tiny part or an extra or something. And he played a homeless person. That was kind of what he always got, the part of a homeless person. And he couldn't, you know, necessarily go in and say, I want to play the homeless person, and I got a brand new set of veneers that are perfect.
So he did it for the craft.
Yeah, he left his teeth all messed up until the day he died because of these little bit parts that he would get in movies.
How many did he do? Do you know?
A bunch.
Did he?
Yeah.
What was the biggest movie he was in, do you know?
Oh, I don't know, but it was enough to where, I mean, he made a side living on it.
That sucks when you're typecast as somebody who's, not traditionally attractive.
Yeah, it's got to be like when the older people are cast as like grandmothers and grandfathers.
Yeah,
and they're like, man, already?
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Yeah, my wife has a friend who's an actress, and she was talking about how it kind of hits you hard when you show up for a part and they tell you you're better suited for the older character.
Sure. Like
you're not going to be the wife. You're going to be the grandmother or whatever.
Yeah. There was a fight one time on one of these Real Housewives shows where they were arguing at a reunion, and she goes, I've done more modeling than you have. And the other one goes, yeah, for plus size magazines. And then they put on the screen like her in these plus size magazines. But if you were to see this woman, you'd be like, that's just a model.
Mm-hmm.
I would have never guessed that she was actually a plus size model. She's a beautiful woman, but man, that was a harsh thing to say. Yeah, you done modeling in the plus size thing.
That's crazy. Yeah. Those women are so trashy.
Oh, they're the meanest. I mean, you just don't want to get on their bad side. Mm-hmm. It's brutal. But yeah, that is shocking when you're like, oh yeah, I'm plus size, or I'm the age to be a grandmother. That's what you think of me.
I'm
that's
a how professional you see me? Homeless person.
You know, yeah.
You know, I'm living in the gutter.
Sure.
Damn. Mm. Mm-hmm. But you know who I'm talking about, right? So you see him coming off as a
I don't remember.
As a homeless person. Because, I mean, I would see him in Walmart and think, I bet he's homeless.
Really?
Yeah, he had a certain homeless quality about him, but he wasn't homeless. He was a pretty successful radio person.
I don't think I know who you're talking about, but maybe I shouldn't. Maybe it's somebody.
Oh, no. Y'all wouldn't know because, okay. Riggins, you might, because you started as an intern when we were still in that other building for that other company.
Yeah, but the
guy. He was right across the hall, and he may have been gone by the time you started with
us. Yeah, the guy I remember across the hall was that guy that was a little.
The one that took your guitar that day when he appeared to be like out of his head on something.
What?
Yeah, that was maybe.
It, Riggins,
he appeared to be. We don't know.
Yeah, that's what I say. He
allegedly appeared to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And because you know how Riggins is, especially with his guitar.
Right.
He doesn't want anybody messing with it. No. Yeah. And he put it down to go to the bathroom or something. He didn't take it into the bathroom with him. And this guy had just been, everybody had been talking about it that day that he showed up acting like a lunatic. Yeah. And next thing you know, you hear him walking through the hall and just banging on Riggins' guitar.
Dang.
I mean, playing it like he's damn Eric Clapton. Just and walking up and down the halls while he's doing it. And Riggins, if he hadn't just gone to the bathroom, he would have peed his pants because he was so pissed off about it.
Yeah, and if he was actually playing it like Eric Clapton, I wouldn't have had a problem. It was incoherent, just banging on it. And I was like, oh, no. He was not playing it like a...
I know, but he's playing it hard.
What do you call him? Smooth hands, whatever his name is.
Slow hands.
Slow hands.
Slow hand.
Slow hand. Yeah, that was alarming. That was alarming.
Mm.
I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, I do, because he needed...
he needed some attention.
He needed a little bit of attention, or just some tender love and care, I think.
But, you know, that's what radio used to be. I don't know whether... I don't think that's still, you know, a norm in radio.
No.
But yeah, everybody in radio for years and then for a long time after I got into radio, they would be considered a little off kilter.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a nomad business,
mm-hmm.
You know, town to town, up and down the dial.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. He was a character.
Sounds like y'all exclusively worked with characters.
There's been a lot of them. There's been a few.
Well, and then it turned nerdy.
Mm.
See, by the time y'all came along, the nerd movement in radio personalities had started. You know, the ones that come in and they weren't going to be offensive, and they wore their little radio station polo shirts and didn't complain about it, and. You know, they were good with the technology and all that. Just became nerdy.
Yeah, none of the people that I worked with were ever crazy that I knew of. Like,
yeah. Bunch of losers.
Yeah, not cool like the guy.
Mm.
Yeah. That we
not cool like the guy who stole the effing station van one day.
Yeah. With the teeth so bad, they thought he was homeless.
Or sounds pretty cool.
Or the one who got pissed off at the boss and then ran out into the parking lot and climbed up on top of the radio station van and actually took a dump on it.
Yeah.
Now that is a radio legend.
That's cool.
Is that the same guy who stapled pictures on the walls down there?
He said, I'll see you in hell, little Hitler. And he's no longer with us on this earth. He had passed.
He's dead.
He had passed.
Was it prematurely passed or?
Well, I mean, what's not prematurely passed? I mean, he wasn't 100. So,
I don't know.
And I'm sure his family would think at any ages before we wanted him to die.
I mean,
you meant, was he a young man? Was it trauma?
I think that's what I was getting.
Was it trauma?
Young enough.
I have a friend who was born and raised in Eastern Kentucky, and he said that every one of his family members has died from trauma.
Really?
What? Mm-hmm.
He said, I've never had a family member die of natural causes. It's always trauma.
That's insane.
A tough life in Eastern.
Yeah.
Holy hell. Yeah.
So,
traumatic.
Yeah. So his deal, I guess, would have been considered trauma.
Yeah. It sounds traumatic.
He was, you know. He didn't just, you know, drift away after his 103rd birthday. It was time for him to go.
It was his time.
Yeah.
It's Extra Funny with TJ and Riggins.